Excited because we are rounding the corner, and in just about 8 days, we don't have to listen to the bantering and the paid advertisements anymore. Don't forget that on the third, I think, that we've got the election coming up, so vote according to your conscience, according to God's word. And let's see how this all turns out. There are voter guides out on the table out there in the hallway, so if you want one of those, please make sure that you grab one of those on the way out today so you can have some exciting reading this afternoon, especially if you're having a hard time taking naps on Sunday afternoons. Also, a couple other things. We have a new small group starting on November 1st. It's going to meet monthly in the multipurpose room here at the church. The curriculum is based on this Bible study called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God, and Joel Mendendorp will be leading that. They will be meeting the first Sunday of the month at 11:30, and pizza will be provided the first meeting on November 1st, and social distancing is preferred. Mask will be suggested but not required. So if you have an orange one of these in your mailbox, it gives you all the information that you need there. Let's see, a couple other quick things. Doris Bork is going in tomorrow for a heart catheterization, so please be in prayer for her, as all along with all the rest of the people listed in the health concerns area on your bulletin. One of those, if you want a prayer request sheet, is out there on the table as well. And also be in prayer for the family of Francis Williamson, who passed away on Tuesday last week. 97 years young. And one interesting fact that I learned about little old Frances, I've only known her as this tall. She was 90 years old when I came, and she was only this tall. But at one point in time, she was 5'8" and taller than her husband, and her entire family looked up to her. Physically and spiritually, as they were all shorter than she was. But continue to pray for their family in this time as well. All right. Hey, if anybody also has any candy they want to bring in this week for Trunk or Treat Saturday night, that'd be great. Or if you don't want to buy it and you want to just donate some cash, see Deanne or I following church, and we'll get that taken care of for you if you want to make a donation that way. All right. That's all I got for announcements this morning. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started with worship today. Father God, thank you for this place which we gather to worship you. And thank you that when two or three are gathered together here, you are here with us in a mighty way. And we thank you that we have the privilege of being called your children. And we just come before you today, and we say thank you for loving us, even though we were unlovable. Thank you for forgiving us, even when our sins are so great. And thank you that when we fail and fall short of your glory, we can always come back to you and confess our sins and be made right again. Because there's none of us that are perfect, none of us that are right, but all of us are being transformed into your image. And I just pray, Lord God, that we would one day receive that great reward of being like you in every way. Lord, we thank you for all the things that are going on in our world right now, and we ask for the next 10 days to be a time of peace and a time of compassion and love and kindness, and not what we typically get to see this time of an election year. And we just ask that that in the next week or so that your will would be done, and that the people whom you have chosen would be placed in the right places to guide and lead and direct our nation to what you want it to be. And Lord, we will trust you no matter what. And Lord, for those who have lost family members and those who are sick, we ask that you would come alongside them, because in their moment, in their grief and their pain and their suffering, that far outweighs the trivial things of elections. And we need to have a proper perspective that you, Lord God, are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we gather to worship you today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your precious name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we worship together this morning.
Just to rest. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 I can sing of your love. Spirit fall,
Let's go before the Lord this morning in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've created for us. We thank you for this moment in time that you've presented to us to live fully for you. We thank you that you are a God who loves and sustains and provides. We thank you that you are the God who has sent your Son to pay the sin debt for us that we could not pay. And because of Jesus Christ, we have been saved. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can approach your throne of grace and say, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins, for they are many. And you say, I forgive, and I free, and I release you to go and live fully for me. And so, Lord, this morning, as we have come before you and we've confessed our sins, we come with a clean plate, with a clean slate, and a wide open future that allows us to embrace what it is that you have for us and not cling to what is held against us. For it is at the cross that our sins were judged, and we are free. In and through the wonderful name of Jesus, all God's people said. Amen. Fall is my favorite time of year. After a long summer of too much heat, this fat old boy just loves the temperature change. I'm sorry, there are some of you who are going, it's cold, and I'm going, it's perfect. Because I just love the fact that things are changing and so many things are becoming really amazing. And I shouldn't say that yesterday when I was driving down the road and I was flying down the highway and I'm looking and I'm seeing all these beautiful leaves. I'm not going to say that I got my phone out and was taking pictures while I was driving, because that would be wrong. But there were some beautiful pictures taken yesterday of beautiful autumn leaves and wonderful things. And it's kind of weird when you get up in the morning and you go out to face the day and you're expecting it to be warm and it's cold. It kind of wakes you up in that moment and it kind of makes you woo, and you become fully aware of what's going on around you and you start looking for different things and you begin seeing different things. And as the farmers are taking the crops out of the field, you become more aware that you need to be looking for those four-legged animal known as deer, so that you don't hit them, unless you're David Bunn and you don't pay attention and you just smoke them with your car. He's not here, so I can pick on him a little bit, but that's all right. But you know what's great is it's sometimes the things that start taking place in the fall that make me think of the past, and I kind of think back to when I was a kid and the things that we did in the fall, and we were always getting together with family and friends, and we were getting sighted in because gun season starts in Michigan on November 15th, and we were all getting ready, and every weekend in October and all the way up till gun season, my uncles and my cousins and our friends would come over, and Saturday and Sunday we would spend our time getting sighted in, and we'd shoot against each other and have a lot of fun laughing and poking fun. And it reminds me of when my dad was getting ready and he was trying to get my gun sighted in for me a little bit better, and he loaded it up and was using a maxi slug. And if you don't know what that is on an old muzzleloader, a maxi slug is something you put a lot of grease into, and so you slide it down the barrel and that becomes the patch, and you slide it on down, and he didn't clean his thumb off well enough when he was getting ready to put the cap on and seat it properly. And when he did, in this enclosed garage, his thumb slipped off the hammer and the gun went off and it blew a hole through the roof. And it was spectacular, because if it was me, I would have gotten killed, but since it was him, he just got made fun of, because he did follow all of the safety that he was supposed to, except for the simple fact that you should do that outside, because we were inside. It was raining outside. And when I came back in and there was water on the floor, I thought, what's that from? And I looked up and there's a hole and it went blip, dripped right in my forehead. And I'm like, who did that? And they said, Dad did. And we all laughed and had a good time. But one of the crazy things is that garage and that hole in the roof is no longer there. It's just a memory. It was in those days when I gained my appreciation and love for coffee. Well, actually, Coffee Mate and sugar in the coffee. I got to be in charge of the coffee pot as one of the youngest guys there and just made sure it was always there, and I was always getting the first cup. And it just makes me smile. My cheeks start hurting a little bit, you know, when you start thinking about some of the things from the past. But every time we look back into the past, we don't always see good memories. Most of the people that came are gone now. Most of the people in those pictures have died. And you know, when we look back, we also think of the failures and mistakes of our past. And we see those not so good times, and we wish we could erase them from our collective memory and we could have somebody come and just wipe the slate clean from our brains. But you know, I was sitting back there and we were singing a song, and I thought to my first Sunday being installed into a church, and I remember having a friend come and lead a song, and it was a special song to me, and it went so horribly bad, I should have known that I should have ran from that church at that beginning. But that was a mistake I made in the past, and I'm sitting there, and we're singing, and I'm like, man, those memories jump up, don't they? They jump up and grab us and try to wrestle us to ground, our failures and our shortcomings. They just keep pounding us over and over again. And if we don't remember them, Facebook and our friends will take care of the rest. They'll remind us of the things that were wrong. Most of us, if we would have known then what we know now, we would change a lot of those things back then, wouldn't we? Yes, we would have fewer regrets, and yes, we would take advantage of a lot of missed opportunities, but we probably would have had a whole lot less fun, and our glory days wouldn't be so glorious as they are in our memories. Some would go back and try to change absolutely everything that went wrong in their lives, but in doing so, they would wipe out a lot of the great things that happened later on. Would change how we reacted in a situation, maybe how we prepared for a life or a future opportunity. Maybe we would have learned to see from other people's perspectives before we opened our mouth and spoke from our own. I would have learned how to back up and move forward differently instead of not being willing to back up and just plowing ahead anyways, because I've already made my choice and I'm going to prove you wrong. We would all have invested differently. We all would have made better choices, knowing then what we know now. Maybe I would have less options for liver and kidney transplants, but I would have missed out on a lot of great things and seeing. Some amazing kids grow, become amazing young adults. Some people say they would never change a thing, and their picture is right next to the word liar in the dictionary. Because every last one of us has regrets. Every one of us have failures, things we would change and do differently if we had the chance to do it over again. That is driven into our hearts and minds as Christians when we read Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God, and all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There was no one who does good, not even one. And that's a sobering reminder for all of us that on our best day, we still aren't great. Couple that with Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we're painfully reminded that every one of us are the same. We are all in need of God's grace, love, and mercy, and that we need to respond to Him in a way that is going to be productive and proactive. Instead of continuing on our own path, we need to back up and turn around and go back to Him and find peace with Him. Especially in light of Romans 6:23, which says the wages of sin is death. You know, we've all earned eternal separation from God forever. But God is relentless in His love for us. But unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to have do-overs, and we don't have the men in black coming and hitting us with neuralizers to wipe our memories clean of the past. We don't have mulligans to take care of our missteps. And there's nothing in our human arsenal of technology or weapons that we possess that can take away our failure and our sin. And when asked, what can you do about it? The answer really is nothing. There is nothing that we can do on our own. But fortunately for us, we have Jesus, who has offered to care for us and take care of all our shortcomings, our failure, and our sins in our lives. Romans 8:1-2 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of the Spirit of death. I love that. No condemnation, set free from sin and death for those who are in Christ Jesus. How does the rest of the world survive when they have no place to turn? And why do we struggle and continue in our sin when we have turned to Jesus and He set us free from it? That we have the potential to rise above it and live for Him in an incredible way, knowing that we don't have to remain in that sin any longer. I love Romans 3:21-26. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Then He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You know, I'm really glad that God doesn't punish us immediately for our sin, because I would be preaching to empty pews. In fact, I wouldn't be preaching at all. What if God took charge of us like He did Aaron's sons when they made an improper sacrifice on the altar and He killed them for it? What if, like Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to everybody because they wanted to look good before the congregation, God said, you lied, and they died? What if God dealt with us that way instead of with grace, love, mercy, and compassion and forbearance? What if He dealt with us immediately as our sin deserves, instead of graciously as His love has secured? See, ladies and gentlemen, here's our problem. We've got sin. You got sin? You need Jesus. Have you been a failure in your life at some point? You need Jesus. Have you hurt others by your actions and words and things that you've done? You need Jesus. You got labels on your life, such as prodigal or adulterer or whore or liar or thief or politician or divorced or sexually immoral? Have you cheated? You need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus, and Jesus is for everyone. You see, we all need Jesus to take care of our past. Listen to these verses, 1 Peter 3, 18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Colossians 2, 13 and 15, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You know, he put a lot of work in so you could trust him with your past, your sins, and your failures. And ladies and gentlemen, you can trust him. We all can put our trust and hope in him. I had a great opportunity to sit and share with a friend, and we're talking, and this guy is a thinker, and he's just always looking at things from so many different perspectives. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? When it comes to death, I really wish I was an atheist. And he looked at me like many of you are right now. He goes, you wish you were an atheist? I said, yeah. Because when it came to death, it would be so much easier to believe that there is nothing after this life. When you die, they plant you in the ground. Everybody says goodbye. They have a good time at a party and celebrate what a great person you were, even though you were a horrible, terrible, worthless piece of crap. And I said, and there's nothing to worry about after that. But because I'm a Christian, and I believe that there is a God who created the universe and everything in it, and he created each and every one of us in his image to be holy and righteous and to be in a relationship with us that will last for eternity, I believe that there is more than just this life. And we will be held accountable for those sins. And God has taken care of that by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. And I said, you know what? I said, Dennis, I got a problem. If you die, I worry about where you're going to spend your eternity because I'm a Christian and I know there's something more. And I don't know if you've trusted Jesus. And he just looked at me. He says, yeah, I can see why being an atheist would be so much easier. I said, yeah, I wouldn't worry. I'd just throw a party and have a good time. Throw you in the ground and never worry about you again. But because you're my friend, and I have a friend named Jesus, I worry about you. You know, those are the things that we all need to be reminded of and why it's so important. And he says, it's like we're God's ambassadors going throughout the world trying to spread the good news that there is something yet to come. And Jesus has paved the way for us and paid the price for us. And you can spend eternity with the God who created you in his image. He put in a lot of work so you and I could trust him with our past and our sins and our failures, and we can. And he's willing to take care of your current sins and your failures and your missteps as well. 1 John 1, 8-10 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. Here's the thing. If you're a Christian this morning and you have sinned since you became a Christian, I want you to be very real and transparent this morning. I want you to stand up with me. Come on. If you've sinned since you became a Christian, stand up. I am glad that we're not hypocrites and liars. Okay, you can sit down. That's good. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that makes this passage very real to all of us. That we have sinned, we have fallen short, and we have since we became Christians. But the beautiful thing is that he will forgive us whenever we fail in sin, because we're not perfect yet. You see, the world's going to call you a hypocrite. Christians will call you backsliders, weak, and bad examples. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus calls you back to the foot of the cross upon which he died so he could forgive you then and now. He says to you, I am willing to forgive you and cleanse you and help you. And if you are willing to be forgiven and become clean, you come back to me and grab a hold of me because I'm all that matters. You see, God has forgiven your past and he's willing to repair your present life because he has a great future in store for you. Now, don't click there yet, Sarah, but in Jeremiah 29, we love verse 11, don't we? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. We just love to grab a hold of that, don't we? Everybody loves the idea that good things are in store for you in the future. Go off after you graduate high school. Find someone you love. Marry them. Go on to college. You get a degree. Start a career. Have a great life and future. You're an American. It's going to be awesome. It's kind of like that, right? Let's take a look at what 10 through 14 says of Jeremiah 29. Let me remind you that this is a glimmer of hope and promise as God gets ready to hold Israel accountable for their sin. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and future. After that, now keep in mind, after that 70 years when you're in slavery and in bondage and you're cut off from me, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. He's sending them to captivity. This isn't a reward where they're going. He says, look, down the road, I got great things in store for you, but you knuckleheads, you got some things to learn. And I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You know, sometimes God allows us the privilege of learning from our mistakes. You know, we don't like it when we fall down and get hurt, do we? We don't like it when we get held accountable for what we have done wrong, and we bear the scars and the marks for our sin and failure, that we deal with the consequences. But he says, listen, I want you to know you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will still listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back home. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of us have done this. We've gone our own way. We cling to that one verse, train up a child in a way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And we bring them to Sunday school, and we bring them to church, and we pound them with the word, and we fill them up, and we sit there, and they turn that magical 18, 19, and graduate, and they go out, and they start living like, man, like people we associated with when we were kids. How could they live that way? I mean, seriously. And we're going, oh, man, they're going to hell and there's nothing I can do about it. But pray for them and love them and keep reaching out to them. And then one day they start thinking when they're in the middle of the pig pen going, man, my life's a mess. What can I do to fix this? And they realize they can't do a stinking thing. Hopefully then, they will come back to the Lord. You see, we don't have guarantees. Yeah, it's so hard. I kicked two of my kids out in Indiana just recently, and a friend of ours sent us a picture of Knucklehead Jared. Gang, it shocked me. There he was in this church, high up in a section, and a friend of ours took a picture of him. while he was standing, clapping his hands along to a song. I didn't know he could do that. Dad goes, "Isn't it great to see what our kids, their mother, Jesus, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's great now." You know, God does that every day with us. The things we do and the things that we don't do, both of them cause them to tear up. Oh, how could they be so stupid? And, oh, look, they didn't fall face first in the mud puddle this time. Good job. But it's true, God has great plans and a great future in store for us all, but he still lets us choose. But when we are less than his best, he still loves us. You see, we have all missed the mark at some point in times, and sometimes we prodigal our way right into a gutter, and a lot of us doubt from time to time how he could love someone like us. But here's the great thing about God. God never wavers. God never changes. God never falters or fails us, even though we do all those things to him. Sin and failure are inevitable for us, but are impossible for God. He has not failed us, nor will he ever forsake us. How can you be so sure, preacher man? How can we know that that's true? Well, it's because I'm not trusting in what I can do, but what God has promised and what he has done. See, he promised to send us a Savior, and he sent him, and his name is Jesus. He promised to forgive us our sins and receive us as his own, as he has and always will. He promised that we would face troubles and temptations and that he would provide us a way out, and he always does. He promised us that we would fail again and again, and he would forgive and receive any of his children who confess and repent of their sins, and he does it every day with a bunch of biting sheep like us. How do I know this to be true? It's the same thing I told Dennis. It's all about faith. That there's a God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it and everyone on it. And he did it because he wants to have a relationship with us that we keep running away from. And he says, "Come to me and I will love you and forgive you and free you." And it's based on him and not me. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2 says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That's what the ancients were commended for. Being sure of what we hope for. Man, I hope I, you know what, I found out how to, that I don't have to hope for the perfect gift for Christmas, for my birthday. I showed Deanne what I wanted. This, right here. And she went over to Amazon and she went, boop, and it came. And I saw this box and I'm like, and I opened up the box and I was like, "Thank you, I got just what I wanted." You know, when you pick out the perfect gift for yourself and tell them exactly where to order it from, it works out perfect, right? Never in a million years would we have picked Jesus. But he picked you. And he picked me. And he says, "I want you. Because I love you." Are you sure? Mm-hmm. You know, it says that's what the ancients were commended for. You know, today I want you to go back and I want you to read Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Great Hall of Faith. All of these amazing people, Moses and Aaron and Joshua and all these incredible people, right? King David's listed. I call it the greatest list of failures and flunkies that God made into saints. I think some of us are going to be listed there one day on the great rewrite of that chapter. Because not one of them was perfect. It's a list of murderers and adulterers and whores and blasphemers. And it's incredible because everyone trusted God and what he said and what he was going to do. And he says of them in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Isn't that a weird thing? Isn't it weird that all those people who died are waiting to be made perfect because they're waiting on us? And I love the simple fact that God is waiting for that great and glorious morning when he comes back for his church, and he comes back and that one great moment he makes us all perfect in him. And we'll all be made perfect when Jesus comes for us. So my imperfect friends following Jesus together until he comes. When you fail, get back up. Go to the cross of Christ and confess your sin and failure to the only one who can do anything about it, because he's waiting there to help you. Trust in what he has done, what he said he is doing, and ultimately what he has promised he will do. He will help you replace your imperfection with his holiness and perfection. And live by faith in him and his relentless love for you, even when you sin and fall short. Get back up. Forget the past and the glory gone by, and hold on to Jesus and the future that he has for you. And always remember these incredible words that the psalmist wrote about God and how he feels about his people. In Psalm 103, verses 11 through 18, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place is remembers no more. But from everlasting to everlasting is the Lord's love. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." You know, the world and the devil will come to you. Even when you got your eyes closed and you're sitting in the back of the church worshiping God, he will whisper, "Failure, fraud, flunky, hypocrite." He will whisper into your ear time and time again to do everything he can to keep you away from God and his love. And the only thing that can keep you from God and his love for you is your willingness to run to the cross every time you fail and come back to him and say, "Jesus, I've failed you again. Please forgive me." And he says, "As far as the east is from the west, I've divided and forgiven your sin. And I will remember it no more. You're my child and I love you." Hang on to the promises that he's made to you. Even when the world screams, even when your mind and heart is telling you you're worthless, remember that he has called you worthy and he loves you and has chosen you. So cling to him. Now close with this last verse. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." You know, all of us are pretty stupid people, right? How many of you have a bank account? Pretty much all of us. And we take our money and we put it in that bank account and we trust the bank to take care of it for us. Yet we trust ourselves with our eternities. Now here's one beautiful thing. There is a glorious inheritance that can never perish,
spoil or fade or be taken from you, kept in heaven for you, that you can bank on. Because that bank and trust has never failed, nor will he start. So may you find the living hope in Jesus that you need to face the days ahead, because he truly is your living hope. As the worship team comes, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much that we live by faith and not by sight. Because when we look in the mirror, we see days gone by. We see failure. We see ugliness. We see nothing but unworthy. But because we have put our faith and trust in you, Jesus Christ, and what you have done and what you said you will do to keep your promises, we have a living hope that cannot be taken. So, Lord Jesus, we come before you as sinful people, and we confess our sins to you, for they are many. And we confess the simple fact that you, Jesus Christ, are the only one who can make payment on those sins. And that you love us and will do so freely if we confess our sins and we repent of our sins, which means we turn away from them and turn back to you. So, Lord, with our lives right now, we have the most incredible thing in all the world. In this moment, as we have confessed and repented of our sins, we are free and we are perfect and holy. May we live into that each and every day until you make it permanent in your presence forever. And Lord, if there is anyone who has not put their hope and trust in you and what you have done to secure their eternity, may they do so soon, if not even now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song together.
Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven.
I'm not trusting in what I can do, but in what God has promised and what he has done. He promised to send a Savior, and he sent him, and his name is Jesus. He promised to forgive our sins and receive us as his, and he has and always will. He promised that we would face troubles and temptations and that he would provide us a way out. And he promised that when we fail again and again, he would forgive us and receive us as he would his children who confess and repent of their sins. That is the living hope we have, and that's what faith is all about. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you keep your promises, even when we don't. And I just pray, Father God, that we would walk from this place secure in the palm of your hand, reminded today that we have a living hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, and you are working with us to perfect us. And one day we will be perfect. And it's all because of the wonderful, wonderful Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. Offering plates are on the way out. If you'd like to throw your offering in there, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks.